This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Dave has the day off. Steve Thompson sitting in. You normally hear me on Saturdays in the fall, college football final. And then, of course, filling in occasionally for Henry Lake. Pete, good to visit with you. Vikes, Bears, high noon, Soldier Field in Chicago. Over the years, can be difficult for the Purple.
It can be. They've had a lot of difficulties down there. It doesn't matter how good or bad the Bears seem to look. It's always a struggle, it seems, for the Vikes. And I don't know if this will be any different. Let's be honest. This is a Bears team that did a lot of things in the last week or so to change things up a little bit. They were struggling. And they played the Green Bay Packers, who, let's call it what it is. The Packers, I think, look pretty outstanding this year. The Lions are absolutely on fire. The Vikings have done extremely well, although they've had a dip here and there. But this is, I think, one of the most competitive and maybe even one of the best parts of the entire NFL, the NFC North. I look at the Packers, Lions, and Vikings, all of which look like they're right there, ready for the playoffs and trying to get in there. But I'll tell you, the last few games do concern me a little bit. I got to be honest with you, Steve. When you consider that we played the Colts, they're 5-6. The Jaguars, they're 2-9. The Titans, 2-8. We didn't dominate those games by any stretch, and we lost to the Rams before we went on to those last three. And then you look at Tennessee, and you start to wonder. They have no offense at all at Tennessee. We knew that going in. We talked about that. And Levis, as a quarterback, has really, really struggled. And Darnold's had his ups and his downs. And the last five games, he's struggled a little bit. He's reverted a little bit to the mean. He's got 8 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and 14 sacks. So we'll have to see. The Chicago Bears, the one thing that's always a constant in Chicago is defense. So we'll see if that defense can step up and do some of the things that they've done this year and for many years in the past as far as what they're able to do, holding down a pretty good offense, I think, with the Vikings.
Over the years, you could say with the Vikes, on the road, on grass, not very good. That narrative has changed. This year, in particular, and really under Kevin O'Connell, they've been a good road team this year. And in reality, over the long haul, any win on the road's a good win. Even that ugly win over the Jaguars, you take it and you move on.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You have to play good enough to beat those teams that probably you should beat. And we've done that. We did that with the Colts and the Jaguars and the Titans. We stepped up. We did the right things. We didn't look very good doing it. But like you just said, it's not so much about the looks. Although, as you look into the future a little bit in the playoffs and that type of thing, that gets a little bit more concerning. I think that Caleb Williams, he did make a step up last week when you look at what he was able to accomplish against the Packers. And I'm not saying he had the game of his life, but when you look at his percentage, he actually was 74% on his passing, did pretty well there. Still got a few more sacks. You know, he's been sacked 41 times this year and 24 times just in the last 5 weeks. So it gives you an idea. If you're a Viking and you like Beeflo, our defensive coordinator, he's going to bring that pressure. It'll be really interesting to see what we're able to do against that offensive line that has had no success at all. They have talent there on that team. That's the part that sort of surprises me a little bit is when I look at the receivers that they've got, and they've got DJ Moore, they've got a tight end in Komet, they've got Odunze, that receiver that they drafted very high out of Washington. They've got talent there, and DeAndre Swift is a good running back, a very good running back. I don't think he's the top five or anything, but he's a very good running back. They've got some of the pieces. They just haven't been able to piece this together, and that offense has never been clicking. It doesn't seem like the entire year they've just struggled.
And when you think of the Bears, you get back to that old argument. You get a highly touted quarterback. Look at the struggles Darnold had early in his career. Third overall pick, was put in bad situations and really struggled. Now in a pretty good situation, some would argue a very good situation with the weapons around him here in Minnesota, Darnold has shown that, hey, this guy's got talent and can play quarterback. It gets back to that old argument. Were they fair to Caleb Williams by saying, here's the ball, here you go, good luck?
Well, and I'll tell you, we talked about this in the first hour, but Daniel Jones, right? I mean,
everybody's
talking about him right now, and he's not had the success. But when you think about it, he went to a team. There was a reason why they picked him as high as they did. It says a lot about where the Giants were at the time. So, yeah, there's a lot of quarterbacks out there where you just wonder. Now, Sam Darnold, I think the jury's still out personally, but I know a lot of people are really liking what they're seeing. But he started off great. And then you look at the last three, four, five games. It's certainly not great. It's okay at best, I think. And we do have that great receiver. As a matter of fact, I think we have three really, really top-end receivers. We've had tight ends. I think Josh Oliver is going to be out today, but he's out and Hockenson is back. So you've got a great tight end there. I think the Vikings' success comes from running the football first. If they can get Aaron Jones the ball, and I say this about the Vikings, I say it about the Gophers, if you can get your top running back the ball and he can just get enough yards, they don't have to get 100 yards, but if they get 15 carries and they get something like 75 yards, that becomes extremely meaningful to the quarterback, because that gives us the opportunity for people to not just put their ears back and come at the quarterback on every play. They've got to sit there and watch Aaron Jones, and when he's had great games, that's when the Vikings have actually looked the best on the offense.
And Darnold managing the game. Yep. Way too many turnovers against the Jaguars. Really cleaned it up against the Titans. And it's imperative. Don't turn the ball over. I mean, in this league, and really at any level, Pop Warner all the way up, you know, you got to protect the football. Darnold can't throw picks.
Right. And we had we did what we needed to do against the Jaguars and the Titans and the Colts. But the reality is, and nobody wants to ever point this out, but I will, and I'm not trying to throw, you know, water on the fire or anything, but when you look at the defense of the Colts, they're near the very bottom of the NFL. The worst defense in all of football is the Jaguars, and giving up 26 points a game are the Titans. So it's been a very beneficial thing when you really look at who Sam Darnold has gone up against three of the last four games that we've played, and including the Rams, who actually at least are a .500 football team, and we did lose that game. We lost it 30-20. So I'm not trying to throw shade. I'm not trying to throw water on anything, but you have to look at things from a realistic perspective. The Bears do have a better defense than all those teams I just mentioned. So that will be something to be able to watch as well. But I think it comes down to that, but it also comes down to that offense. That offensive line might be the worst offensive line I've ever seen in the NFL. They're that bad. Those five guys up front for the Bears, they're pretty terrible, and we should be and will probably likely take advantage of that early.
And that almost seems to me mismanagement from the Bears. You're going to get number one overall pick quarterback, cornerstone guy, and then you're going to put him behind that crew.
Yeah.
It just seems like malpractice, Pete.
And it happens all the time. That's the problem, I think, within the NFL, and you look at these general managers. They have to understand that where does it all start? Probably starts at your offensive line, and then it moves to quarterback, and then it moves to receivers. I've said this all year, and I'll continue to say it. I think that wide receivers, we are so deep with wide receivers right now in the NFL and in college football coming out, going into the NFL. There's a lot of depth there, but you don't have that same kind of depth, I think, with the offensive linemen. So you've got to find offensive linemen that you can get fairly high in those drafts to be able to protect those players. Because if they don't have the protection, and you see it with Caleb, you see it with a lot of these quarterbacks that were drafted so high, Sam Darnold being another one of them, they've got to have people protecting them. And when they're getting 40 and 50 and 60 sacks in a year, that tells me that they're not doing the right things with the money and how they're analyzing who they need to protect people, like a Joe Burrow. Look at how many sacks Joe Burrow has had in his career, how many injuries he's had. And Joe Burrow is a great quarterback, in my opinion. He steps up. He's good. He's a big guy. He actually can run pretty well. But, you know, there's been a lot of years where it's just a jailbreak and he's got to get rid of the ball in less than 2 seconds. That's what makes it difficult, and that's what makes offenses stumble and turn the ball over a lot of the time, is the fact that they just don't have enough protection in there. And the Bears are exactly that team.
Well, and you look at what Jim Harbaugh did when he left Michigan, yeah, and took the LA Chargers job. He got that big kid, O-lineman, yep, right out of the gate, top 10 pick in the first round, to protect Herbert going forward, because he knew, it's like, hey, I got a franchise quarterback here. I got to protect him. And that's the first thing Harbaugh did when he took the Chargers.
You are so right. And I said this just the other day to Vanita on Friday. We were talking about, you know, football and different things. And one of the things that I mentioned was, I think Jim Harbaugh might be the greatest coach I have seen. And I know people will say, well, what does that even mean? Well, at every level, he's had success. He was at the University of San Diego. Then he bounced up. He was at Stanford. He did extremely well there. He went to the 49ers. He did great there. He's everywhere he's gone. He went back to Michigan, wins a national title. He comes in this year. He's with the San Diego Chargers with virtually the exact same pieces that were there last year, and they lost 8 of the last 9 games they played. But they had, the pieces were there. They just weren't used right. He used a first-round pick, number 5 pick in the draft, on Joe Alt, local kid here, yep, John Alt's his father. Let me tell you, Joe Alt will be there and be one of the best, if not the best, offensive tackle in football for the next 10 years. He's mean. He's big. He does things that other players can't do because he's got the athleticism of a tight end, but he's playing tackle. I'll tell you what, Jim Harbaugh knows exactly what he's doing and how to approach it, even at the NFL level. Not many guys can do that. Very, very few coaches can go from college to the NFL or vice versa. Jim has done it multiple times now, and now today he's playing against his brother, which makes it even more fun. I mean, you know, it's just great to see what these Harbaugh brothers have done, and I say that as a guy who doesn't like Michigan. Josh knows how much I hate that school, but I'll tell you, I give all the credit in the world to what Jim Harbaugh is doing, because he is amazing, and he loves that Bo Schembechler, let's get 3-4 tight ends out on the field and we're going to punch the ball right at you. It's not that far different than that tee that we were talking about earlier today with the prep bowl with Steve Hamilton. I mean, when you look at that power, yeah, tee, you're just pounding the ball at people, and that's what Jim does.
Yeah, and by the way, they've found a way. They're 7-3 to beat Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. That frantic comeback on Sunday,
yep,
they end up winning it 34-27. So they're getting it done out there. They every bit a playoff team, and I agree. Not a huge Jim Harbaugh fan, but it's hard to argue. And then, by the way, his brother John in Baltimore, I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for the work he's done in the NFL. He just goes about his business. Now, he has had some superb talent over the years, but I think John Harbaugh is as good as it gets in the NFL.
Steve, I'll throw out one more thing real quick, because I know we got a break probably, but
yeah,
when I look at what Baltimore is doing right now, how about the fact that they went out and they grabbed Derrick Henry when everybody around the entire, yeah, world says, yeah, you don't need running backs, you just need receivers. Let me tell you, if you've got a running back, when you look at Derrick Henry, you look at Saquon Barkley, you look at Gibbs and Montgomery, you look at James Cook and Chase Brown and Josh Jacobs. These are running backs and that are doing it with the run, and it's giving the quarterbacks that much more time, which is huge in the NFL. And because of that, those are the top quarterbacks in the NFL. All those teams that have those running backs are top quarterbacks in the NFL. It gives you a little bit of an idea that the running game still does matter.
Well, and you have to take heat off Lamar Jackson. It can't be all about him. He's going to get killed.
Yeah, it's... You've got to do that, and it, yeah, buys you time, and that's what all a quarterback needs is another half a second, and if you've got a good running game, that means they get that extra half second. That's why any of those quarterbacks that I mentioned behind those running backs has an opportunity to be great, and they are great this year.
Quick break. We've got more. By the way, the over-under, 39.5, Vikes, Bears today. Vikes favored by 3 on the road at Soldier Field at high noon today, as they try and take another step toward the playoffs with a win on the road. Third straight road game for the Vikings today. It is the Sports Huddle. Pete Najarian's here. Steve in for Dave Schwartz. Josh Wheeler is our producer here on News Talk. 830 WCCO.